what should we go straight question answers, or shall we just revise what we did yesterday? Most of them were there, no, yesterday. Okay. So regarding the mind, we saw yesterday what different kinds of obstacles the mind put. First one was procrastination. That's one argument mind always puts forward in order to just keep postponing the things. And you may make a solid firm resolution, but mind has got ability to come up with so many reasons, and then you feel it's just all right, I can make exception this time, and then somehow the mind tricks you not to remain on firm on that path. Second, we thought, we discussed about was wrong conclusions. In the sense, we have the mind itself makes certain conclusions without the balance and neutral understanding. It's like where there's an expectation that I should be always perfect and efficient in all respect, and because I am perfect and respect in all respect, naturally I will earn respect from others. And then there is so much of pressure, if I don't get that kind of respect, means I am useless and incompetent. After that, we discussed about inferior complex, that many times we feel I can't do these things nicely. And then mind says that you are totally useless. Instead of thinking what good qualities you have, where you need to improve, instead of straight away, it will just stamp you out. Many times while discussing also, we also many times pass comments on others that this fellow is like this, that fellow is like this, and we are very casual about it. But some people are very, very sensitive, and for them, they will keep thinking about it for the rest of their life, that this person spoke to me like so and so. So like this inferior complex is the one where you have a tendency to judge the things on material results. And just because you can't produce material results, you feel it's like you're either useless or unproductive. So some people do have a lot of shortcomings. So they may have some loss or some inconvenience, but never a person is totally useless. So whatever is his strength, he should work upon without much bothering about one's shortcoming. After that, we saw about the envy. So as far as envy is concerned, we understood like how one can understand whether there is envy in the heart through some physical phenomena that happens in the heart. At the same time, the envy with envy, when it manifests in a hidden way, it's very difficult to understand. And then you just can't understand that why there is no proper communication between the persons, why relationship doesn't take place. So envy doesn't mean that it will just manifest in a very gross way, where you have a physical fight or you have verbal argument with each other. Even if you externally appear to be act as a gentleman, still your behavior can easily indicate that there is an envy in the heart. And once there is an envy, slowly, slowly, that will degrade you. After that, now we have this thing like others' behavior which we consider unrealistically wrong. Like we just conclude that this person is wrong, he has wrong intentions, so we behave accordingly with him, and then there is a no cooperation. After that, there is a perfectionist attitude where the anger comes up, and as you all know, when anger comes, all thought process is blocked. Then we thought about like unrealistic expectation about oneself. Then there is fear aspect we saw, that when there is a fear, how we become totally unreasonable. Many times it becomes very hard for a person to convince that what fear you have in the mind is totally useless. But that fellow is completely convinced about it, and difficult to preach to that person. So there are the few obstacles we thought, and then emotional stability, which is very, very essential in the life, because nowadays they are found out. Previously they would give lot of importance to the intelligent quotients. So they would think that a person is intelligent means he will be successful in his life. But nowadays, after study, they could find out that simply your intelligence is not sufficient. What is your emotional quotient, whether you are emotionally stable or not, is also very important. If a person is not emotionally stable, even if he is intelligent, he won't be able to do much. As I just gave the example of one college student, he was very intelligent. His intelligent quotient was exceptionally high. But the thing is, simply he couldn't handle his emotions. Just that emotion, how I will face the world because I stood in some examination, he committed a suicide. So we can see that though that person has got lot of good intelligent quotients, but because emotionally he is not stable, he just decided to end his life. So that's how to control the emotions is also very, very essential. We must know about it. And then we decided, like, saw to counteract those measures, that what are the different solutions we can find. One thing we discussed about, like, there has to be a check on all our activities. This tendency of a human being is, it will always just go on doing things in which he feels enjoyment, pleasure. And all of us said that, you know, we like to eat nice prasadam, we like to take rest, because the activities gives you a lot of pleasure. But the thing is, what will happen if the pressure is taken out? Let us say tomorrow Sri Chaitanya Prabhu is not there with his attendance record. Slowly, slowly things will start deteriorating. Some people will start coming at 5:10, then 5:15, then 5:30, and things will go on. So naturally, the jiva would like to do that thing. He likes eating, he likes sleeping. So all the time, he will forget of sadhana bhakti and will simply go for doing this kind of activities. That's why Srila Prabhupada used to warn us that this place is not a free hotel. Well, this place is not just for eating and sleeping. We come here so that our mind is engaged at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. And for that purpose, he has given us this morning program. It's like, you can take a simple example, a student. A student also likes to watch TV or go and mix with his friends or read novels. He will not have natural inclination for study. But then he has to make endeavor to study, otherwise his life becomes useless. So similarly, in spiritual life also, we need to follow certain kind of discipline. Then mind will listen. And then we discussed, like, there's no point in waiting for inspiration, because mind will always give so many reasons why not do that thing and why other things are better than that. So this is how, like, then we can keep watch on ourselves by, like, making our own progress card or accepting somebody else as our guide. So these are the ways by which we can counteract the mind's restless nature. So this is a synopsis what we discussed yesterday. So are there any questions? So first we'll have Braj Vihari, then you, and then this. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, this yesterday also you mentioned about keeping some record. Like, I have maintained sadhana card for a long time. It is helping me. But I've been observing that there are two problems which a brahmachari faces after some time. I don't know, especially with me, which I thought if it could be addressed. First is, initially when we are new, we get feedback immediately. Prabhu, this is not a problem, this is mental, don't worry, do it, you're all right. So we get solid feedback and immediate feedback. But after spending some years, we don't get feedback so much and so often. So it's not, we are not sure whether it is a mental thing the mind is saying or whether it is actually a problem. And this is one problem.
So
and
this
the second
is one by one.
Okay. So no, I thought they are related, that's why I thought I'll tell you both. These are like, and because of this, you are not able to do the second thing. That is, you're not able to be decisive. Sometimes when you're doing various services, your day might be packed, so many things, and sometimes you might have to say no to some devotees, of course politely because of other things. And you have to be not exactly diplomatic, but you have to be decisive, assertive. I'm not saying you have to be aggressive, but you have to be assertive. So it becomes a mental game then, because you're not able to be decisive, because you're not sure whether this is right, this is not right. Because of the first problem, that is, you don't get solid feedback immediately. You don't know whether you're on the right track always for small, small things. So what should we do after we spend a few years in the ashram?
So initially you say that you get immediate feedback, but when you become little senior, you
people,
don't get that kind of feedback.
Yeah, people expect you to be responsible, and they think that minor things we should not tell, we should not. And we also realize that we don't need that feedback always. But then, on the mental level, it can, like, you know, we don't know whether your problem is genuine or. Say, for example, I'll give a simple example. Let's say I have had 4 late nights and my body is paining a lot, and I'm feeling I just can't take the morning program anymore. So after Guru Puja, I just go and take rest. I miss the class. So if I was a new devotee, for example, I would be told, Prabhu, kya ho gaya? And after some years, probably somebody might not. This is just one example. I'm just giving random example. That could be something else also. So should we get feedback always? Or should we create our situation in such a way, should we behave in such a way that we always get feedback? And sometimes we have to be decisive and assertive. So should we be assertive in our behavior in the ashram?
See, what happens is, as you said, we should be always ready for feedback from others. So you can take feedback from your seniors, your equals and juniors. For overall progress, you need these 3 kinds of feedbacks. The seniors also, but many times you behave better or you put up nice show in front of a seniors. But and most important is your equals, because they watch you all through and through. It's very difficult to take feedback from those who are equals. And juniors also, many times we can get a lot of inspirations from juniors also. So one has to have this 3 kinds of assessment or 3 kinds of feedbacks. And as you grow more and more senior in devotional service, you should know that if I don't behave properly, I'll be responsible for not putting proper example for others. And that's why I've seen many times Maharaj, even though he's not so good in health, but still he will make an endeavor to come for the morning class, morning program. He may not be able to come sit properly, but still he will come and sit for japa. So all these things the spiritual master does so that he can set an example for the others. So if we feel that just because you have little body pain here and there, I can make an exception, but at the same time you must know, okay, you are preaching by your example to your other ashram inmates also. And when other ashram inmates see that if my senior is doing like this, then I can also do like that. So one should always know that my behavior is also affecting others. It's like once, like if you are attending the class, if one person starts sleeping, naturally another person also starts sleeping. That's why, like, those who are taxi driver, when you're driving on a long drive, if a person sitting next to him starts falling sleepy, start nosing off, the taxi driver, you know, the driver always wake him up, because he knows that this fellow is sleeping, I will also get contaminated and I will lose control on the wheels. So like, what your actions, you are preaching to others. So if you tell your mind that if I don't follow the discipline in the life, it's a bad example for others. Then that will make you more responsible. Because mind will give you so many reasons that why is perfectly justified that you should make an exception for this case. But when you know that my behavior is being watched by so many others because we stay so close to each other, and because of this, someone else will also deviate from that path. So once like all our, it's like slowest speed, when the fleet of a sheep goes, the one which is the slowest will determine the speed of all the fleet. So similarly, if you are on this side of a problem, then you are like, it's better that we are always on the side of a solution. And many times we will see that our problems are so petty. And we should take inspirations from our seniors. So many senior Prabhupada disciples, how they were so much responsible, accountable for their behavior. And because of that, then we can sincerely go ahead. Otherwise, what will happen is, we just take so many things casually. One example I can quote is from Bhaktitirtha Maharaj's life, which I saw when he was, I think maybe first or second time he visited here. Once in the evening we were in his room. So he was saying, I'm writing a report to Srila Prabhupada. Now how I spend a day. So for us, like, you know, Prabhupada is here in the form of his vigraha. But we don't realize he's present there. And that's why, you know, you can find that somebody will lie here, somebody will just joke with each other and do mischief here. But if really Prabhupada is present here, you won't behave like this. Will you behave like that? If Prabhupada is present, just imagine Prabhupada is present here. All of you will take his presence seriously. But no, he is here, but you don't take his presence seriously. So we are casual in our behavior. But I could see that in Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's example, he was thinking he is actually present there. So he would be presenting all his reports. Now, this is how I spend my day. This much time went for this, this much went for this. So it's in your hand. If you want, you can be accountable. If you don't want, you can't be accountable. So if you want to follow this example, you can see whether even if your spiritual master is not here, is not watching you, the person who is a sincere like Bhaktitirtha Swami, now he will not waste a single of his moment. Because he knows that even though Srila Prabhupada may not be here physically, but I am here because the sacrifice he did. And naturally, father expects the son should carry forward what is he doing. So I should be very thorough in my dealings. And that's how you could see how he perfectly would perform his son, would get up early in the morning and finish all his rounds. And he will be so meticulous in doing all these things. So we take a lot of inspirations from the senior devotees, and we can understand that how also we also should be properly accountable for our behavior. So initial stage, it's in one sense is much easier, because you are asked to do something and you do it. But when you become little senior, then you think you know something and you can do something about solving your problems. And that's little dangerous. We should be always open for correction by our seniors, and we should be always searching for that. So if you keep that, then that tendency won't come. So that's the main challenge, how you remain enthusiastic all throughout your devotional career. Is that okay? Okay. Next.
Hare Krishna. This question is of a slightly different nature, so I hope it's okay to ask. Relating to the mind, I wanted to know, compared to external thoughts, i.e. our words, and sort of, in Kali Yuga, what is the degree of our karmic reaction for our internal thoughts?
What you're saying?
Is it that?
we know that if we do some activities externally, we get karmic reaction. But in Kali Yuga, the kind of thoughts we get are horrible. So for those kind of thoughts, is there any, do we get some kind of reaction, or is there something subtle, on a subtle level, that happens internally?
Now what happens is, in Kali Yuga, you are not held responsible for your thoughts. You are responsible for your acts. But then what happens is, if you don't control your thoughts, then very soon they will result in the action. So that's why it is said, nip it in the bud. Initial stage itself, you have to control it. Because very soon, that will result into the action. That's why there's, you said, dhyate vishayat punsa. The moment you start contemplating on the same object, then it's naturally all other things will follow. So that's why one has to always keep focused on all these our sadhanas, chanting the holy name, hearing, and keep our mind like clean. The moment all these thoughts comes, somehow or other you have to just make an endeavor to go away. So that's why if you have engaged yourself in properly service, then so many thoughts will come, how I can do my service nicely. And then chanting the holy name, hearing, and thoughts about service will keep away the thoughts about our sense gratification. And like person like Jayanand Prabhu, who is such a senior, he was a senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. So for him, there was no, he was so immersed in chanting, in hearing, and rendering service to others, that there was no time for him to think about his own happiness. His happiness depended on serving others. So when the mind is trained in such a way that your real happiness is lies in your eternal occupation, that is to serve, then all those kinds of thoughts will not come in the mind. So in Kali Yuga, you won't be held responsible for whatever thoughts are there. Otherwise, it will be a calamity for all of us. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is merciful, or Lord Krishna is merciful, that we are not held responsible for that. But at the same time, we have to sit with that. We restrict them at earlier stage.
You said that for envy, the solution is generosity. Can you elaborate on that? More examples?
So, envy, what do you understand by envy? Envy means you want things. You are the center, right? Whether you have a wealth, whether you have any other asset or respect, in the renowned sort of life, you may not have any material possessions, but still the people hanker for the respect. So this kind of things are there, like envy means that person makes himself as a center. And opposite of the envy is the generosity. Generosity means you just give others. You put others first. So the person who is non-envious will always put other people first. Whereas a person who is envious, he is the first, and everything should be used for his sense gratification. So if you want to get rid of the envy in the heart, one has to start serving. Give it out, whatever, either whatever possessions you have, if not possessions, your time, anything that you have, it should be given for others. So envy means you want to be enjoyer, and generosity means you want that let someone else enjoy. Why me? Is it okay?
Sometimes when I listen about eternal difficulties in spiritual life like anarthas, like an inferiority complex. And I understand that I have such a difficulties, I have such a I have such difficulties, but I don't have enough power to start working on this, to how to get out from these difficulties.
So your question is like, you know that you have some shortcomings or inferiority complex, but you don't have a strength to counteract that. This is your question?
Yeah.
Okay. So the thing is, first of all, you don't know that you are in trouble. Sometimes you know that you are in difficulty and you need to do something. So some people you approach, they will say that everything is going absolutely nice, there's no problem at all. Is that person is just like a sleeping person, you can't wake him up. He's just pretending to sleep. Whereas the other person who knows that I have some problem, but he doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't have enough strength to come up. So that person, that's why I'm saying, said that he's not able to cope up his mind alone. So you take a guidance from someone else. So you have to be that much honest enough that I face this problem on my own. I don't know how I can take care of it. So you please help me. But that needs a humility to approach somebody and ask for the help. So if you are sincere to sort out that problem, then when you know on your own you cannot solve your problem, then it's better that you go to somebody whom you know who will help you in solving your problem. So that person, you explain your situation to him, and then whatever advice he gives, please stick to that. It's like, you know you are sick, you go to a doctor. Doctor will give you medicine, but if you don't take a medicine as per the prescription, medicine will not act. So go to someone else when you can't solve your own things. That person will help you to sort out things for you. But then please follow what he says, because he always come across to so many cases where people come like this, that they can't solve their own things. So that person can give you a mature advice how you can deal with your own mind, and then that person can sort out the things for you.
Hare Krishna. When we do a particular service, sometimes we start liking the service, or sometimes we like some devotees, or something like that. So the thing is, many times our attachment for a particular service or a devotee may not be purely spiritual. So how should we? Is it sense gratification? Or we should just, just do it without attachment.
So what situation is, you like certain services,
yeah,
you like certain devotees also.
Yeah, we may like, and our attachments for services or for devotees may not be spiritual. It will be material.
Yes.
So, based on material, considerations. So, should we encourage that or we should just be detached from these things and not like it, because liking it, enjoying a particular thing, is sense gratification.
So if you do service, naturally some pleasure will come, because that's a rasa. It's our constitutional position that when you serve, you will get some pleasure. Because if there is no pleasure in service, then we will not do the service. So every living entity is doing service, and he does in exchange get some results. But now what happens is, we have natural liking to some services and we don't like some services. It happens. But then best is we just do the needful, that whatever the services has been allotted to us, we try to do that service nicely. And the main characteristic, whether you are doing service for yourself or for the pleasure of your spiritual master, will be judged at that time when you are asked to leave that service and take some other service. So if you are attached yourself for doing that service, so when you are asked to leave that service, you won't be able to give it up. But if you are doing the service for the pleasure of your spiritual master, and when spiritual master tells you that instead of this service, please do that service, you will be happy to give up the previous one and take another one. So that's how one has to see that I am doing service for the benefit of my spiritual master and not for my own sense pleasure. But definitely the service itself will give us a lot of pleasure. But when you are being asked to leave that service, you should be able to do that, understanding that this is best for my purification. Because Krishna will give you different kinds of services, different kinds of responsibilities, and ultimate aim is to purify yourself from all those your anarthas. So whatever service is given to you, one has to sit with that, we do it nicely. Because many times we do services, how this inferiority complex and all these things comes up, is we always judge by the material results. But the God judges by the heart. Man judges by the result, the God judges by the heart. So that's the main thing, that we always evaluate in terms of externals, material things. But Krishna doesn't see how much service you do. He says in what consciousness you do. So that key point one has to understand while he is doing service. So when one understands that I had to do that service in a proper consciousness, then it's possible for us to become detached from the external results that you get. Now you have to work hard. It's not that you don't do whatever service is given to you, don't do it properly. If you do it properly, at the same time in a proper consciousness. If you don't do service in a proper consciousness, it will not help you much. So that's why it's necessary that one learns to do service in a proper consciousness. And that's the first thing. And second thing is, we are doing this service for the pleasure of our spiritual master. That's the highest understanding one has to reach. So initially, even if you have some attachments, but you should know that this is a standard, that ultimately what is best will be judged by my spiritual master. Whatever service is allotted to me, I will try to do that nicely. And that's how you will progress in spiritual life.
The second part of the question, like sometimes you become attached to devotees also, that is also on the material basis. So,
yes, it's quite natural that your wavelength matches with some other devotees' wavelengths also. So, that's quite natural. But at the same time, we have to understand that each Vaishnava is special and unique. And we should try to develop rapport with them. At the same time, when you are so close to some Vaishnavas, it's not that you just spend time in all sorts of frivolous behavior. It's better that we see that this person is whom you like is also Vaishnava. And the relationship should be strong enough. Like ultimately, as I said, everybody has got different kinds of emotions. And we should have at least some relationship with somebody to whom you can sit and reveal your mind. At least there should be someone somewhere to whom when you can't cope up with your emotional stress, you can go and open it up. So it's not like you just like some person and just be always with him, but don't develop a strong rapport. We need a strong rapport, especially in this brahmachari ashram, because everybody needs, it's a family also, it's like it's one small unit, but there is a relationship with each other. In some places it's strong, some places it's not strong. Where it's not strong, that unit breaks. So similarly in brahmachari ashram, in that family also, we have to have a very strong relationship with at least some person. So whenever we have something to reveal, we can go to that person, approach him and open our mind. That reduces a lot of our stress. So we have to have at least that kind of person, at least one person with whom we have that close relationship.
There is always a clash between in the mind when we have to choose between sticking to ideals which are set by the acharyas and being reasonable and humble about your own capabilities. So many times the mind is very much troubled, and you know, you think that should I do this? It's like sometimes you're told to do some service, and your mind, you're fully convinced that you should not do it. Not, it is not your capacity to do it. But at the same time, you have the principle that the brahmachari should not say no to for a service. So at that time, there is a lot of tension in the mind. How can we resolve this?
One thing is like, you can't say no to the service. At the same time, you don't have capacity to do it. So the thing is, that's why I'm saying, like, you should not always judge by the results. We try to judge that if I do this service, I won't be successful, so I will get bad results and so many things will happen. But the thing is, what Lord sees is that in what consciousness you are enduring to do that service. So Krishna doesn't care now how much results you produce. If you are simply trying to follow the orders of your spiritual master, that pleases Krishna. That's what we see the example of that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and illiterate Brahma. So he could have said no to his spiritual master, I can't read, you are telling me to read Bhagavad Gita every day, but I can't read, so I can't follow your instruction. But he had unflinching faith in the words of his spiritual master, that simply if I make an endeavor to follow the instructions of my spiritual master, my life will be successful. So just keeping a faith and trying to make some endeavor to do that service will bring the success. And on practical level, like, you can always talk to a person who is giving you that service. That person will help you how you can do that service nicely. Because if you have a certain disability, certain disqualification to perform that service, person who is giving that service may not know it. So if you just go and tell him, then he might probably change your service, or he will help you how you can do that service better. But the key point that we have to do and note is that whenever we are doing some service, it's for the pleasure of our spiritual master, and simply our sincere endeavor pleases Krishna, and not we have to always show the results. Any other questions or comments? Radha Kund.
Sometimes we may have the perfectionist attitude in case of following the temple policy. So in that time you may get angry. So, how to deal with this situation?
See, the perfectionist attitude is there. Like, we have to have proper standards. Like, we have seen In Chaitanya Charitamrut, Raghava Pandit, when he wanted to offer this coconuts to the Jagannath, and when he saw the servants there, he just touched the ceiling. And then he concluded, now these coconuts have become contaminated. So Srila Prabhupada writes that it's not that he was suffering from cleansing phobia. There was a genuine feeling in his heart that I should nicely serve my Lord. So what happens in our case is like, so we have to do our service very nicely. There's no doubt about it. We have to make all endeavors to do our service nicely and please our spiritual master. But then what happens is, in case of perfectionist attitude, is we want things to be done in our way only. So there is a policy, and some people will break that policy. But there is another principle is there where we can't offend the devotees. So expertise of a manager is that he bends the people without breaking them. So that has to be learned. Yes, I have to implement this policy. At the same time, I cannot offend the people also. So simply just stating the rules doesn't solve the problem. So you have to understand in a different ways that how I can correct this particular person who is not following the standards. So there could be different ways. You can sit down with that person and explain him the things, that why we have this rule, what is the rationale behind this rule. And if you just try to insist on the rules, and because of that if you keep offending the people, then net result will be negative. So that's why one has to understand that how I implement rules and regulations, at the same time I don't offend the people also. Just like Gopinath Prabhu always makes that operation is successful but the patient is dead. So similarly, now we have to do our service perfectly. At the same time, we have to observe this principle that we don't offend the devotees, and devotee on their own should be able to follow those rules and regulations. So for that purpose, we have to use our intelligence in what ways the devotees will follow the things. So simply things like demanding that rules has to be followed like this, but the same and compromising the principle of not displeasing the devotee won't give you the overall benefit. Because ultimately we are doing this for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord will not be happy if you offend his devotees. So that's a challenge, that I do everything perfectly, at the same time I don't offend the devotees, and wholeheartedly help devotees so that they can also follow the rules and regulations. Okay.
Can you explain a little bit more about inferior complex and how to overcome it?
Inferior complex?
Yeah. How to overcome it?
How to overcome inferior complex?
Yeah.
Yes, I just made it very clear. Inferior complex means you see another person is doing good, you compare yourself with that person. This person is able to produce this kinds of results. I am not able to produce that kind of results. That's why I am useless. But as I mentioned, Lord Krishna doesn't see the results that he is producing X results and you are producing Y results. Lord sees how sincerely you are trying to serve. That's how one can counteract the inferior complex mentality. That you just always compare yourself with others, and just the calculation is based on material calculations, and that's why you feel yourself useless. Inferior complex will ultimately lead either to competition, undue competition, not healthy competition. Or inferior complex will just cause you some depression in the mind. So to overcome that, the key reason is just try to do things very sincerely, very nicely. And simply, this comparison will not help. Of course, we always have to have some role model. Everybody follows role models. If you go to any college students' hostels, you will find every student has got some role model whom they follow. So similarly, we also should have some role model of some devotees whom you like. So how they preach, how they do their service nicely. So you draw some inspiration from their life, from those role models. But don't think that I can be also like that. I can also be able to produce that results. The key thing is Krishna will give him success, he may not give you success. So giving results is in Krishna's hands. What is in your hand is to simply make an endeavor. So you just make a sincere endeavor. That's it. And simply comparing and you're thinking that because he's doing this, I'm not able to do, so I'm useless. So I should be doing things like him. That is not possible. Because Krishna, if doesn't want to give you results, no matter how hard you try and how perfectly you do things, Krishna will not give you results. And you will be always unsuccessful. So this inferiority complex is usually, you simply meditate on your negative qualities. You simply think that I am like this, I am useless, like this, 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 negative qualities. But as I told you, that everybody has got some good qualities and some shortcomings. So, whatever good strengths you have, try to work it on nicely on that. Then you will be able to go ahead. Rather than trying to do something and then conclude that no matter how hard I try, I can't get success in a life. Then causes a depression and slowly, slowly you go away from that. So instead of that, simply be satisfied with what you have. As whether it's like inferior complex is one way when we can look at it from is just be content with what abilities Krishna has given it to you. Why you want to be somebody like that when Krishna has not given you that ability? Why try to imitate that? You can definitely try to follow him, try to take inspiration from him. But just accept what you are. You are born with certain abilities and certain disabilities. To just remain content in that, that as per my previous karma or as per Krishna's desire, I have these things, so I live with it. At the same time, whatever I can do, I will try to do it sincerely. Rather than trying to just evaluate things on material calculations. Is that okay? Yes?
Hare Krishna. Suppose a devotee is put under some authority for certain services. And the authority need not be spiritual master. He can be any senior devotee. And many a times it is, if it is seen that there is a difference of opinion in the authority and the devotee, and although the devotee is right many times, he tries to follow the authority. So my question is, what is an upper limit for such kind of tolerance?
Such kind of tolerance means?
Like he's trying to follow what the authority says, even though it may not be right. From the standard as well as from...
That means, suppose the authority is not right,
yeah,
and you are trying to follow sincerely.
Yeah.
It's something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So what happens is Krishna will hold responsible for that authority for his deeds, and you will be responsible for your deeds. So if authority is wrong, the Krishna will punish him in due course of time or correct him. What happens is, in your hand, if you try to do things sincerely, Krishna will take note of it. It will acknowledge it, that this person served me nicely. as I told you, Krishna may not see the results. He won't see the results. He will just see that this person keeping faith in the scriptures, keeping faith in the spiritual master, was trying to endure something. But somehow or other, for some reasons, he was with under certain some persons. That person had conditionings, so he couldn't guide it properly. But your sincere effort will never be wasted. So that's why one should always try to follow whatever service is given to him nicely. If you do it nicely, Krishna will always recognize that service. And as far as authority is concerned, Krishna will have his ways of correcting him. So that should not be an excuse for us for not doing our service properly. If you give that an excuse, no, who is a loser? We are ourselves a loser. So whatever it may come, we should simply serve nicely. If you have that attitude, then things will be all right. Is that all right? Okay, shall we end here? This is 11:35. Shri Prabhupada ki, samaveda bhakta vrinda ki.
Personal question.